questions that others don't dare. We're dads on the air. We're dads on the air.
And it's a big welcome today to Dads on the Air, coming to you on the Community Radio Network around Australia from the studios of Fine Music 102.5. In this program, we bring you interesting conversations on issues affecting dads, men and boys. I'm Bill Cable, and our guest today is Carolyn Manner.
Hello, Bill. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. Now, Carolyn has a career running longer than The Simpsons. So she's taken on the world in brand and strategy roles at a number of major companies, Unilever, Kraft, eBay, MSN, and largely M&C Saatchi, which leads us to our discussion today. Carolyn has produced a welcome and an original, and I think it's a first, a study on the modern Australian man. And in the Australian edition called Man Code, she's come up with what I think are quite a few surprising findings. Carolyn, how many men did you interview for this book?
We did face-to-face interviews with 140 men, I believe. Of those, 70 men were every day across the whole demographic of Australia, from a CEO right down to someone in a warehouse, in retail. And then the other 70 were actually influential men across society, whether it be through popular culture, through music, movies, but also a lot of brand marketers. And the reason we did that split was because these people have a big awareness of a large demographic that's connected to them. So, for example, we spoke to Eddie Maguire, who could speak about the football code, he could speak about the community of football lovers and those sorts of things. So that was how we did the split.
Yes, now, you've been described as the man whisperer. So did that help you get these men to open up in the way that you were hoping?
Look, I was surprised, delighted and amazed, really, that there was probably, of the 140, about 137 men were so open and honest and really more emotionally intuitive and in their ability to articulate themselves, their world of masculinity, the way that I have seen it change than I could ever imagine. There was only a handful, in fact, less than a handful of men who didn't really open up, which surprised me. I thought it would be harder. But I think what we found was that men of all aspects of society have actually missed the opportunity to speak as a man about men's topics. And at a very personal level, I'm not talking about in the boardroom or on the football field, and talking about things that they actually feel and what they believe and how they perceive things. And most of them said to me at the end, they actually thanked me and they said, look, we don't usually get the opportunity to talk about things like this because no one ever asks us.
Yes, and do you find that the men perhaps tend to give themselves a bit of a hard time? Are they too willing to jump on the bandwagon and criticise themselves?
Absolutely not. This was, they definitely acknowledged flaws. There was an honesty to their discussions and to their self-awareness, but they're pretty sick of being bashed, I must say. And this was universal. They acknowledged that they, as a gender, have never lacked for right or privilege through history. But they also said that they don't believe that they're as bad as all of society is portraying them as. I suppose what they keep saying over and over again, and I'm paraphrasing here, is that gender equality and respect should be mutual. It should go both ways. So in the same way that I've got and I could say this probably almost 100%, not a single one of them said a bad thing about women.
Mm. Well, I
was very careful never to lead the discussions. It was very obvious that I was a woman, but I let them take the conversations wherever they were, wherever they went, and most of the interviews lasted up to 2 hours in a very safe environment that wasn't filmed, so they could say whatever they pleased. And none of them said, women are bashing and this. What they talked about more was they can't believe that society as a general has got it to a point where that women can't do anything wrong, but men don't seem to be able to do anything right.
Yes, and are you seeing that? You mentioned society. Where does this come out? Are you talking in terms of television advertising, perhaps?
Oh, look, I think to a degree, I come from the marketing and advertising world, and one of the reasons that I wanted to do this study in the first place is that I believe that advertising and media has a very, very influential role in leading the way society thinks, and I didn't believe that we were... We had enough insight into the way men were today, and we were playing on stereotypes that may or may not exist now. So I want to do the study to understand the true national character of men today, not what we thought it was. So to a degree, yes, I think that they are seeing it predominantly coming through in media and advertising. They did talk a lot about the advertising community where men are either made to look like buffoons, usually drinking buffoons, or that they are such punces that they're worried about driving around stylishly in the middle of the night with their very posh car. And they just felt that wasn't representative of the majority of men. And what's interesting is that we did interview at the top end of town, and... we found that even a CEO who is wealthy would still feel the most comfortable in jeans and trainers and a T-shirt. Australian men, even those who have done very well for themselves, seem to have an unassuming humility to them that they don't want to... They want to be the everyman, and they don't want to... be an overt displaying of wealth because they think that that's inappropriate. So the men in the interviews, whether it was someone who worked in a factory or someone who was a CEO, were consistent in the way that they wanted themselves to be perceived, and they were consistent in the way that they believed society was not portraying them in the way that they are.
Yes, it's been described as a tsunami of misunderstanding and bad press, and I can think of a couple of advertisements. There was one where a woman took the tool and hit the fellow on the head because he hadn't done the dishes or something. It's only when you look critically at ads and movies and things, I can't think of a movie where there's been a man who's been divorced who's raised a child on his own. There's usually the wife dies and then he carries on, but I mean. There's this general misunderstanding, I think, of the men's role.
Goodness me, I absolutely agree. Can you imagine the uproar if there was a sitcom where the man was intelligent and the woman was an idiot? It does not exist. That was one of the other impetuses for me wanting to do this study because the entertainment industry is consistently putting men down, putting them into, they're either fat, they're stupid, they're incompetent, and even if their wife has died, we go back to a classic, Sleepless in Seattle, he was still relatively left as if he was without a limb because he didn't have a woman to help him raise the child.
Yes.
And yet... women are never portrayed in that way. We wouldn't dream of doing that for the uproar. But unfortunately, men are not able to voice any concern or any indignation about the imbalance because now, if they do, they are considered sexist, whereas if a woman brings up a concern or indignation, she's considered a humanist.
Yes, and we're speaking with Carolyn Manner, the international man whisperer and the author of Man Code, about lifting the lid on Australian men. We're going to take a short break now, and this is a song by Spencer Davis Group called I'm a Man. And that was I'm a Man by Spencer Davis Group. Welcome back to Dad's on the Air, where our guest today is Carolyn Manner. And Carolyn's been telling us something about the branding of Australian men and where the misunderstandings lie. And perhaps you might just tell us some of your other the findings that you found about the Australian men in your studies.
I think that one of the biggest shocks that I had was that, in fact, and I'll go straight to the real shocker, is that Australian men are quite romantic. That at the end of every interview, I would always ask the gentleman to tell me what was the most romantic thing they had ever done. And initially, almost all of them would go, oh, I'm not very romantic. And I'd go, well, why would you say that? My wife tells me I'm not. And so I'd ask them to explain that, and they would then explain what their wife's expectation of romance was. So I would go, but why do you not do that? And they say, and they all universally said, because that's not what my perception of romance is. So that's really interesting. So what we found is that a man's perception of romance is fundamentally different than a woman's perception. But a woman is saying, if you don't meet my expectations, you are not romantic. And so what's happened is that a man is then pushed down emotionally. He's constantly told he's not romantic. And yet what he believes is just different. So what he believes in is that romance is what I paraphrased as surprise and delight. It needs to be a surprise in that she doesn't know it's going to happen for it to be romantic. So, which is one of the fundamental reasons men don't like Valentine's Day, because they are told that they have to be romantic on that day. So it goes against the very premise of what men believe to be romance.
Perhaps unless they're given permission to be romantic on Valentine's Day, then they might.
No, but then it's not. You can't be romantic unless it's a surprise.
Mm.
How can it be a surprise if you're told you have to do something on that day?
Yes, it's...
So the way that they like it to be is that, and the delight is important, the best thing that a man would love to see in romance is the surprise and therefore the huge smile of happiness on his partner's face. That's what he looks for in romance. It's that she just cannot believe he did this, he thought of this. She's just so surprised it's come out of the blue, and that's what he considers to be romance. So when they describe their most romantic moment, almost all of them referred to and told me the story, most often than not, of their proposal. And what women don't realise is that men know that story back to front. The average story took about 10 minutes. Some of the stories took up to 20 minutes. And they would tell me the story from the moment they thought about proposing right through to it going on. And the biggest catalyst for that story was, how do you build surprise into it? And the reason he considers it the most romantic moment in his life, the most romantic thing he's done, sorry, is because it's the biggest amount of surprise and the biggest amount of happiness on her face. So the more surprise, the bigger the level of romance. So when you've got a woman saying, let's go out for a romantic dinner to this really posh restaurant, even the wealthiest man does not consider that romantic. Even the wealthiest man would much rather have surprised his wife and saying, get in the car, we're going to go out for dinner, and then taking her to a local Italian trattoria because it's something that she didn't expect. But he likes the simplicity of it. He doesn't associate money spent with degree of romance. Now, saying that, that then rolls into the next big finding is men are almost getting aneurysms with the thought of having to buy their partners or woman gifts. We even spoke to the entire male team of, Men's Health magazine. And at Christmas time, they all have mental health problems. Yeah. They're so worried about what to buy women. And that's because, again, women are setting the expectation. Women are actually showing their displeasure if the man does not get it right. Can you imagine a man saying to a woman when she gives him a gift, that isn't good enough? I even had one beautiful, beautiful man. He was an incredible man, runs a very big company. He's a marketing director. And he said he finds it easier to actually sign off $1 million advertising budget than he does to buy his wife a present. Even to the point, and this is a classic example, he had bought her a lovely necklace one year, and then next year was their anniversary, and he thought he would buy her the matching earrings. And the matching earrings were about $5,000, so it was quite expensive. But unfortunately, when he went to buy them, they were gone. And he had to buy something that was similar, but it wasn't the exact match that was there, but they were in the same genre. And so he still spent roughly $5,000. And he said to this day, his wife has never forgiven him for not getting the matching earrings.
Dear me. Well, perhaps romance is often linked with another topic that we hear about, chivalry. Now, do you think chivalry is dead with Australian men?
Oh, I absolutely don't. I think men want it to be alive. Men are very clear that they want a man to be a man and a woman to be a woman. They do not want us to get to a point, and they're concerned this is where it's going, where we're this neutralised gender, where you can't really tell the difference in terms of mannerisms between a male and a female. And that's absolutely not what they want. They want to teach, then they do. They teach their son that when a woman walks into the room, he should stand up, he should shake their hand. They want to do it. They are pretty blimmin' confused, but about the fact that when they do open doors for women, they're told stopped being so rude. And so they're sort of in this no man's land, so to speak, where they are perhaps doing it less because they think the woman don't want it anymore, but then on the other hand, the woman's saying, why aren't you opening the door for me? You know, another woman, so one woman slams in the face saying, oh, you go first, and whereas another one says something completely different. Universally, the men want chivalry to stay alive. And what's really interesting is that when I speak to them about what is it that you are, do you feel that you have, that it takes, what are you doing? Sorry, I'm trying to think. What do you train your son different than you train your daughter, if anything? And they say one of them is chivalry, that they don't want it to be lost just because women are fighting for this neutral equality or this neutralized gender, sorry, not equality, but they still want it to be coming through. So they train their sons, and this is across the board, to that they should have, they are physically bigger than women, so they should be looking after them in that physical way. And this, and one example of this is I always ask them, do you think that, what is it, when the person, a protector, that's right, do you consider yourself, even though the fact that these days both genders are often working, do you still consider yourself a protector in any way? Now, I got a very big yes on that. And here's a really interesting one, in so much as that almost every single man I spoke to, particularly those who had been raised by a father or a strong male figure, had an emergency weapon of some kind, I'm using that metaphorically, in case there was intruders in the house. So that they would all say, I'd say, well, who, if there's an intruder, what would happen? They'd say things like, there's a bat at the front door, I've got a torch in my side dresser, I've got to take the lamp, I'd climb over my wife, and I would do it.
Caroline, I'd love to keep going on this. There are so many things we talk about, but we're running out of time, unfortunately. And I know there are a lot of good things that can come out of your study, and perhaps we could devote a whole program to that. But in the meantime, I've asked you if you could pick a song. I wonder if you could tell us which one you picked and why you picked it.
Ah, yes. I chose Salt and Pepper. It's an oldie. It's a classic, What a Man, What a Man. And the reason I chose that is I think we're all losing our sense of humour a bit when it comes to men. It's become such a serious topic where everyone's walking across minefield worrying about it. But in fact, I think we all need to chill out a little bit and have some fun and let men have fun, let women have fun. And everyone just needs to calm down. And okay. So I think Salt and Pepper's What a Man, What a Man.
Well, a great song.
It's a great representation of that.
Yes, look, we're all going to chill out now. This is What a Man by Salt and Pepper. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
World. And although most men are hoes, he goes on the down low, cause I never heard about him with another girl. But I don't sweat it, because it's just pathetic to let it keep me involved in that he said, she said crowd. I know that ain't nobody perfect, I give props to those who deserve it, and believe y'all, he's worth it. So here's to the future, cause we got through the past, I finally found somebody that can make me laugh. You so crazy, I think I wanna have your baby.
What a man, 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 what a
home, he's relaxed with pets. He keeps me on cloud nine just like a tip. He's not a fake wannabe, trying to be a pimp. He dresses like a dapper don, but even in jeans, he's a godsend original, the man of my dreams. Yes, my man says he loves me, never says he loves me not. Mine, I rush me good and touch me in the right spot. See other guys that I've had, they try to play all that math, but every time they tried, I said, that's not it. But daddy's always choosing. With him, I'm never losing, and he knows that my name is not Susan. He always has heavy conversations over mine, which means a lot to me, cause good men are hard to find. My man gives real love, and that's why I call him killer. He's not a wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, he's a thriller. He takes his time and does everything right. Knocks me out with one shot for the rest of the night. He's a real smooth brother, never in a rush. And he gives me goose pimples with every single touch. Spends quality time with his kids when he can. Secure in his manhood, cause he's a real man. A lover and a fighter and a knocker-knocker out. Don't take him for a sucker, cause it's not what he's about. Every time I need him, he always got my back. Never disrespectful, cause his mama taught him that. I got a good man.
That was What a Man by Salt-N-Pepa. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners about this show or anything you'd like to talk to us about. Go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au, and send us an email telling us where you heard the show, and we'll be in touch. If you'd like to listen to this show again or any of our shows, go to our website, dadsontheair.com.au. And in the meantime, it remains to me to thank Carolyn Manor very much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Bill.
It's been fascinating talking to you, as always.